Welcome to our podcast series, Elected Ed, in which we talk about issues affecting the everyday governing environment for our local elected officials throughout North Carolina. We're coming to you today from our studio here at the UNC School of Government in Chapel Hill. I'm Patrice Rossler, Manager of Elected Official Programming with the school's Center for Public Leadership and Governance. Our guest today is faculty member Obed Pasha, the Robert W. Bradshaw Jr. Distinguished Term Associate Professor of Public Management. Thank you, Obed, for joining me on Elected Ed. Today, we're talking about stones. Not really. The real topic of our conversation is benchmarking. So I was curious about where the term benchmarking came from. And what I found out is that a benchmark was coined in the 1800s by land surveyors. It's a chisel mark, or more currently, a marker set in stone to indicate level, which in most cases means sea level. And that mark is used to set a leveling rod. So my new best friend at the National Geospatial Technical Operations Center in Rolla, Missouri, sent me a map of all the benchmarks here on the UNC campus. I was shocked. I was appalled. There was not a benchmark shown for us here at the School of Government. But you and I know better, Obed, right? You're the director of our NC benchmarking project, and that has nothing to do with land surveys, but let's talk about it. So what does benchmarking mean, Obed, in the context of local government?
Patrice, it's a pleasure to be here today and on this podcast. Thank you for the invitation. And I'm glad that you gave the background and introduction of benchmarks, because if you have asked me about the origins of the word, I would have not guessed that was the case. So thank you for
you learned something.
Yeah, for adding to my information here. So in the context of local government, we could look at benchmarking from two perspectives. The first perspective that is more common is what we call a metrics benchmarking. And in metrics benchmarking, what we are trying to do is that we are trying to compare our data with other peers. And these could be peers that are the same size or maybe the same demographics, the same towns or municipalities or counties in your region, whoever you think are your, these might be your competitors, or these might be people that you want to learn from, or jurisdictions that are might be doing something great and you might want to follow them or kind of see where you are or where your performance is compared to their performance. So in that respect, the metrics benchmarking process allows us to compare our performance with the performance of other organizations and other peers. The second aspect of benchmarking is what we call a best practice benchmarking. And in that best practice benchmarking, instead of focusing just on the metrics, we try to focus on the best practices that the other jurisdictions are adopting. So we try to see what are some of the innovations that they have adopted, what are some of the challenges that they're facing, and how have they solved those challenges? What are their mitigation techniques? We try to learn from those best practices from other jurisdictions, other organizations, and these might be organizations within your region, these might be organizations within your state or nationally, and we are trying to learn from them and incorporating their best practices into our systems, into our organizations to help improve performance.
So let me explore that with you a little bit, Obed, because it sounds like in your context, benchmarks are not just comparative data, but there's also, it sounds like, an element of judgment about what's the best practice to yield this data.
That is a very interesting way to put it. So we do try to stay away, as we talk about and discuss about benchmarking, we try to stay away from judging or even competing, having that competition aspect between jurisdictions. Just a quick history, that was how things were in the early 90s when these benchmarking systems or performance management systems were conceptualized and applied in the local governments. And you could see all these rankings of around, like, for example, crime rates or something.
So it was judgmental in some respect.
It was judgmental in some respect. And we are trying to move away from that model. But we do make certain judgments around best practices in the sense that what is working versus what is not working. So you might have, let's say, a fire department that has adopted an innovation to reduce their response times. Now, that might be a policy that might actually work or help them reduce their response times, or it may not work, because a lot of times these innovations may or may not work as we would expect them to. So in that sense, there is a judgment around that policy or that best practice, quote unquote, that is helping us, may or may not help us meet the results. But for the other organization, another fire department that is looking into our fire department and saying, hey, we are also trying to reduce our response time and they have done something interesting. Let's reach out to them and see if that is something that has helped them or if that specific policy has not helped them. So yes, in that sense, there is a judgment, but we try to use benchmarking process more as a learning tool and seeing what others are doing and trying to exchange information within the system.
That is a really good segue into my next question, which is, in 2022, you launched Benchmarking 2.0. So what's new in this iteration? 2.0 infers that there was a 1.0 or something less than 2.0. So what's new about 2.0?
To answer that question, I'll need to talk a little bit about the original or the legacy benchmarking project, which was established in 1995 at the School of Government. In those first 3 decades of the benchmarking project before I took over, now, the benchmarking project mostly focused on costing data and budgeting data. And these projects were primarily targeted to help improve efficiency of public services and from the perspective of budget managers. When I took over as the director of the benchmarking project in 2022, we tried to move away from that process by adding effectiveness and service effectiveness in addition to the efficiency component. So we moved a little bit away from the detailed costing model of the benchmarking project, and instead we tried to focus on the outcomes, service outcomes of our local governments. And in addition to that, we also tried to focus on the decisions or the data that our frontline officers and our supervisors and our managers need to make better decisions. So in a sense, you could say that, and that is the major big philosophical transformation that we made from having the benchmarking project focused on the budgeting professionals to the service departments themselves and thinking about what is it that the service departments need, what kind of data do they need from each other, what would they like to learn from other departments, and how we can incorporate that data and bring that data back to them for analysis. In addition to that, we made a lot of changes to the process of the benchmarking project. We automated the data collection process from our partners. We developed a new dashboard which allows people to compare data and run analyses themselves. Instead of us providing what is good or what is bad, they could run those analyses themselves with different variables. And I know we will talk about that later in detail.
Yeah, I was gonna say, let me pick up on something that you said previously, and then we'll get to the dashboard in a minute, Abed. But I find the contrast between the earlier mid-90s benchmarking project and the one that you have now moved to with 2.0 very interesting, because it sounds like the initial purpose was about government efficiency, which I think was a big thing back in the 90s, government efficiency. But now what I hear you describing is something that is more of a citizen interface rather than something that benefits the government by saving money. It's something that benefits the citizens by measuring their processes so that the citizen interface is a more positive experience, however you measure positive.
That is true, Patrice. Absolutely on point. And that is the direction we are trying to move toward in this version of the benchmarking project, that we are trying to empower our middle managers and our supervisors with the kind of data that they would need to, number one, understand about their performance as it relates to the citizens or the outcomes of their services, but also some detailed process-oriented data that they need from others to do their job better and make those improvements so that they could have that impact on their services and eventually the quality of lives of the people who they serve.
So say a little bit more about the kind of data that you're talking about, Obed. What are some examples of the data that's collected?
So we collect a lot of data. We have around 700 metrics in the benchmarking project that we collect from 11 services. So we have central human resources, fleet maintenance, building inspections, emergency communications, fire service, police service, and in public works, we focus on solid waste management, parks and recreation, and on utilities, we have included wastewater and water services. And for each of these services, there are some data that we collect for all services, such as their operational cost, their personnel cost, their FTEs or the number of employees, the number of administrative employees to see how much support they have. But that's on the input side. When we talk about the service side or the outcome side, we collect a lot of data on how these services are providing outcomes to the citizens. Police service, for example, we collect data on crime rates, we collect data on response times, we collect data on the call volume. In addition to that, for building inspections, how long it takes to get a permit inspections completed, how long it takes to get a residential inspection completed, what percentage of inspections are completed within two business days of request, and those kind of things. So that helps us with understanding about information or performance of these services.
Those are really important measures of citizen interface when you're talking about the response time to the police call or how long it takes for somebody to get their building inspected once it's ready for occupancy.
Yes. In addition to that, park services or recreation services, how many young people go to or use parks and recreation services, how many people use their pools, what kind of services does parks and recreation or solid waste provide? So it is a whole lot of citizen-focused data, and then we combine it with a lot of process data as well.
So talk to me a little bit then about who has access to this data. I think that you mentioned earlier you've created a dashboard. Who has access to the dashboard and what's on that, Obed?
So the dashboard is publicly available. Everyone, anyone on the internet essentially has access to the dashboard. And we have tried to make it very user-friendly that anyone can go, any member of the public or the service departments themselves could go and play around with the data, with the numbers. It's a very flexible way of analyzing data. You could divide crime rate by population, or you could divide it by number of police officers. For fire service, you could divide it by, let's say, number of fires per capita or number of fires per households or number of fires per firefighter. So you could see how many fires are our firefighters responding.
In a certain geography, maybe.
So we cannot go by geography, but we could look at the jurisdiction, the city at this point. You could also look at graphs. You could look select who you would want to compare yourself with. So if you are, let's say, Apex, you might want to compare yourself with Asheville or Chapel Hill or Hickory or Holly Springs. And maybe if you are Winston-Salem, you want to compare yourself with Greensboro or Charlotte. And that allows you with that flexibility of those comparisons and try to see what others are doing and what you can learn from them.
So let me explore that access with you a little bit more, Obed. Mm-hmm. If I go Google the UNC benchmarking project and I'm from Montpelier, Washington, would I be able to look up this data on Apex and Winston-Salem and compare it to what I know I have on my own local government in some other state?
You won't be able to compare it with your own local government if you're not a part of the benchmarking project.
Okay.
We only have data for the 17 systems or 17 municipalities in North Carolina that are a part of the project. But anyone can just go on there and see or compare, run these analyses and comparisons for the 17 systems there.
For the systems that are on it.
Yeah, that are our partners.
Obed, tell me, who are your current partners in this project?
We currently have 17 municipalities in North Carolina that are part of the project, all the way from Wilson and Goldsboro to Charlotte and Winston-Salem and Raleigh. And we have Concord and Apex and Asheville, Chapel Hill, Salisbury, and I'm sure I'm missing a few here.
So that's a broad brush of range of municipalities in North Carolina. What if I'm not one of those 17? Can I join?
Absolutely, yes. If you're a municipality and you would want to join, the easiest thing to do is to email me and I can send you some of the details. It does cost $10,000 a year to join the benchmarking project. We also request a lot of data. As I mentioned, we have around 700 data points that we collect. So that might be a capacity issue burden for some of our municipalities.
But if someone's interested in joining this or learning how they might become a part of it, they should just send you a message and you would help them understand what sort of infrastructure they would need in order to supply the data that you need. Am I right about that?
Absolutely, yes. Yes, that is my job. We would provide, and most of the data that we are collecting is something that the services are already submitting elsewhere. So they might be submitting that data for fire systems to the federal government or the state government, or if you're police, again, you're submitting that a lot of data to the FBI, and we are requesting a lot of the same data, but then we add a few things here and there, and I would be happy to walk someone who is interested in the project over the data collection and what we expect.
Obed, let's circle back to our primary audience for this podcast, which is the elected officials. What interest would they have in the benchmarking data? How does this translate to useful information for the elected body?
The benchmarking project provides a host of data and information to our elected representatives. I think the best use of the benchmarking project for our board members is to see what others are doing in the area or what the peers are doing. There is a host of decisions or questions or conversations that you could have based on just by seeing what other people in the area or who you consider your peers, what are they up to and how are they providing those services. One of the ways that our board members could use it, this data, is to make these comparisons to understand or make decisions around staffing levels, whether our town is adequately staffed compared to other places. We could also look at operations cost or personnel cost and see if we are around the ballpark of what others are spending on certain things, or learn from our policy priorities and see if other places have similar policy priorities, have adopted certain management innovations that we could bring into our system and apply those innovations to meet our policy priorities for the service departments.
That leads me to one other thing I wanted to ask you about, Obed, before we close, and that is this issue of innovation. Because as I was reading your benchmarking project report, innovation came out loud and clear in what those units were reporting to you. How do you stimulate that kind of innovation in this benchmarking project?
That's a great question, Patrice. So, and I will take you back to one of the earlier questions that you asked about the differences between benchmarking project and we talked about the metrics benchmarking and best practice benchmarking project. Currently, we are trying to make that transition from a purely metrics benchmarking toward a best practice benchmarking project. So we start with collecting all this data and running all these analyses and all these comparisons. And then every November, we bring in service departments to discuss that data. So they come to the School of Government, we host them, and we talk about what the data is showing, what are some of the challenges that people are facing, what are some of the innovations that people have adopted. And I'll give you a really interesting example, and I think this was from Greensboro. Everyone had this problem of recruitment, and no one could get enough.
We keep hearing about worker recruitment in the public sector.
Absolutely. So one of the innovations that was intrigued everyone in the room was from Greensboro, that their human resources department partnered with their parks and recreation department and communication and other departments as well to set up a hire on the spot job fair.
I read that.
Yes.
Amazing.
Right. So, and it was a low cost event. They set up in their park, didn't cost anything. And they had walk-in interviews for crew members for water utilities and solid waste. And
wow.
In a single day, they hired 75 individuals because you could just come in, fill out forms and paperwork.
You want a job, show up here.
And you
wow.
have an interview with a hiring manager, and they select you and they say you are hired contingent on background checks and other things as well. But that is how they hired 75 people in just one day. And that was an intriguing innovation that was really helpful for others to think about and to take in and maybe apply in their areas as well.
What an interesting idea. Yeah. Obed, tell me what's next for the benchmarking project. What is next on your to-do list?
There is a lot of really exciting things happening with the benchmarking project. One of the things I talked about was, moving toward best practices and more in search of best practices and working as a clearinghouse almost for best practices that have been used in North Carolina local governments. The other way we are expanding is for building inspections. We will, this year, this fall, we are expanding our building inspections data for all 200 building inspections jurisdictions where we will collect their plan reviews and inspections data for all 200 jurisdictions in North Carolina. And all that data would be publicly available in on our dashboard. Last year, we piloted with water and wastewater services. And again, we piloted that project with all 400 water and wastewater utilities in North Carolina. That covers the entire state. We are planning to launch that formally this fall. You will have data and analysis for all systems or water and wastewater systems for the entire state.
That's amazing, Obed. Before we close the podcast today, is there anything we haven't touched on that you'd like to mention about the benchmarking project?
Absolutely, Patrice. It was a pleasure being here today. And the message I really want to get across to our elected officials is to use benchmarking data. There's a lot of exciting data available at your fingertips to use that to make decisions and to find ways to improve our services, to learn from each other, and use all that learning to provide better services and improve the lives of the people who we serve.
Thank you, Obed. Our guest today has been Dr. Obed Pasha, director of the NC Benchmarking Project here at the UNC School of Government. I want to thank our awesome studio producer, Paul Bonner. If you like this podcast, you can like and subscribe to it on our website. We are also on Spotify, Apple Podcast, Stitcher, and Google Podcast. If you have ideas for additional topics, you can reach me at prosler@sog.unc.edu. That's prosler@sog.unc.edu. Thank you.